Today is Monday. Monday. The 4th of April. I'm Adam. Hello, everyone. And it's, I'm talking quiet because it's 12:17 a.m. And I completed a dubious intent. And earlier today, I did a Pride 48 clip show. And then I did a clip show, then I did Dubious Intent. And I'm sitting here editing. And I thought, you know what? I haven't done a Geeky Gay. I didn't do one last week. And I thought, oh my God, what am I going to do? Or my listeners, you know, my two listeners that listen to the show, I haven't put out a... And the thing about starting a new podcast is you need to be consistent. And this has been a recurring theme. This has been a recurring theme that I haven't been consistent with this solo podcast, and I really need to be consistent. So I hate it that I even keep on saying this. And I was sitting there watching YouTube videos while the clip show was levelating. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to kick out a Geeky Gay really quick so I can touch base with everyone. And I don't have a topic necessarily today. Like I said, it is early and I need to be in bed so that I can go to work tomorrow, but I wanted to go ahead and do it. So, I'm going to just touch base, say hi to everyone, talk about. So first, I'll just mention what have I been doing. So I'm really excited. Actually, I mentioned this on Dubious Intent, but I'm really excited because I wanted to get in. So I have a dilemma. I really would like to do video. I really would like, you know, when I first started this podcast, I did a bunch of video episodes, but I was younger then and I was like, oh, I need to be sexy. So I'm going to do it shirtless, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And I was trying to be sexy. And I was going through that period of my life where, you know, not that this is really a period of your life, but I was going through this period for me where I was doing the webcam modeling thing or the webcam sex thing. Well, it's not really sex because no one was there, but I was doing that. And I thought, oh, I've got to portray this super sexy image. And so I was doing shirtless and all this kind of stuff and trying to be hot. And I don't know if I was pulling it off or not, but I wasn't getting a lot of views. And video is a lot harder, a lot more work than audio. And audio gives me enough troubles because on Dubious Intent, we used to record double-ended, which basically means I record mine, he records his, and I am able to record my own audio and sound fairly good. I mean, not perfect. I'm never happy with it, but I've learned enough over the years that, you know, I don't have a bunch of hums. I don't have a bunch of background noise. My levels are pretty good, you know, that sort of thing. But now we record because we like to put the show out really quickly. We record live and we just use studio mode in Google Hangouts. And that's supposed to make you sound like you're in the same room. But there are always these little weird things like my internet will have problems. And so I'll have, you know, Daniel will sound perfect, but I'll be dropping out. Or tonight when we recorded, I had this hum, but I wasn't hearing the hum in my headphones. So it wasn't coming from the mixer, but somehow it was going to his, I don't know. Anyway, so video, I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, video is even that much worse because now, even though I'm done with that whole, oh my God, I got to look sexy. I won't say I'm done with it. I still want to be cute, but I'm done with the having to be, you know, shirtless and whatever, you know, on video, but I still have this real lack of confidence when it comes. I look at these gay YouTube celebrities and, you know, in order for me to put the effort into doing video, I really would like to have people subscribing. You know, I would really like to have lots of subscribers at some point, because if you just have like one person watching or something like that, I mean, sure, that person is valuable, but I don't know. For me, I need to have an audience to feel like I want to put the time into it. But I really want to try it though. And it seems like, but I look at these YouTube gay people and they all seem to be like really young and cute. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I got these bags under my eyes and I've got this and that, and I don't like the way my hair looks and all this kind of stuff. And you know, that is another roadblock to putting out content because I already have this thing about doing stuff alone and not being entertaining enough. I'm like, oh my God, I'm not entertaining enough. I don't, you know, I need to be entertaining and I don't know what I'm going to say to these people. I really want to keep doing this and I want to grow an audience of my own so I don't have to depend on a co-host. I will always want to do Dubious Intent, but I don't want to have to depend on a co-host to have an audience and to get my point of view out there in the world. And for video, you know, there's so many people that have such beautiful video quality and, you know, the content's interesting as well. And so I'm gonna take another stab at it. I don't know if I'm gonna do like this exact show and I'm gonna do it as video, or if I'm going to do like a technology thing. I'm not really sure exactly what I'm going to do. I'll probably record this, like when I'm recording the show, and see if you guys are interested in watching that. And it'll be on YouTube, of course. And then play around with some other different things where I do a segment, just a segment all by itself. The only problem is that YouTube, you really want to keep them shorter. And even though for a podcast, my podcast is relatively short, it's not short enough for YouTube. YouTube needs to be like 5 minutes, you know, and you're done. So I'm not really sure how I'm going to handle that. So maybe I'll do little short 5 minute mini podcasts that also are video, or maybe I just do those as supplementary. I'm not sure. So if you guys have any ideas of what you would like to see, let me know. But I'm nervous because I don't feel like I know I said I don't want to go for the sexy route, but I don't feel like I look cute on camera. And I'm going to be bothered by that. So I was looking up articles on how to get rid of eye bags and all this stuff. I'm looking at these special ring lights that are supposed to make you look more attractive, you know, that the makeup people on YouTube use. So we'll see how that goes. And the other thing I was really excited about is I got this wonderful deal on this new, a refurbished Canon 70D. It's about half the price that you normally would pay with a lens, with everything that you need to do it. And it's a prosumer camera, and it's kind of my treat to myself for getting a bonus. So anyway, what else have I done? So in the past week and a half or so since the last time you guys heard from me, Mark and I went to Branson, and I was saying on Dubious Intent, it's kind of like, first of all, it's very country. So any of the really good shows are pretty much country music. And I noticed that a lot of things are shutting down. So I don't know if things are kind of winding down in Branson. It's eventually going to kind of become a shadow or a ghost of its former self sort of thing, or a shell of its former self. And the other thing is, you know, a lot of the shows are older celebrities that kind of go there in their retirement. They still want to have an audience, but they're kind of there for the people who are hanging on. And we had a good time. You can listen to Dubious Intent for the full story, but we did that. We relaxed. We rented a house. That was really nice. We had a hot tub, and my favorite part of the entire trip was at night just pouring some Moscato, because I basically like Kool-Aid taste in wine. I'm not going to lie. I should take wine and just mix like sweet and low in it, and I bet it would taste better. But anyway, that was my favorite part, just relaxing. We ordered a pizza one night and watched a movie on the TV just there in the house that we rented. And it was really nice just to get away before Mark started a new job on Thursday of last week. And it's basically the same job, except he's switching to being a developer instead of being support. And he's going from working for a contractor for the company he works for to actually being employed by the company, which is a good step for him. And we just wanted to relax for a few days and get away. And so that was really fun. And then I have the trip with Daniel coming up to Florida on the 14th of April. So maybe I don't know if I'll record anything in the car or something like that. Maybe I'll do something like that. If I do it with Daniel, it'll just be like basically another episode of Dubious Intent, but we'll see. So I did get an email that I totally forgot in the episode about airline travel, top 8 hates of airline travel. I totally forgot that I had this email. So Musing Mark, I'm going to read it now because I apologize. I didn't read it on the other episode. So Mark emails and he says, here are a few things I do to make air travel a little more pleasant and cost efficient. Arrive at the airport a good 2 hours before the plane leaves. This eliminates the panic of rushing to catch a plane. I don't know if you guys, and this is not an email, I'm saying this now, but if you've noticed, like now everything costs. So now you log in to buy your ticket, let's say American Airlines, right? And you log in and you type in the dates and you're like, oh, that's a pretty good price, you know, whatever. And then you get to the part where you're picking your seats, and all of the seats that you would want are like an upcharge. And it's not just one upcharge. It's an upcharge for each leg of the, oh my God, I hate it. And then they go, oh, and you can pay a little bit extra if you want a special, you know, you want to get on the plane earlier, or you want, you know, priority treatment, or all these kind of things. It's ridiculous. I mean, they charge for anything. Before long, they're going to have these standing up spots where you, like on a bus, where you are a train, where you hold on to a strap and you just stand up the whole time. And that's going to be like economy. And then if you want to actually sit down, you're going to have to pay extra for that. Anyway, so his next thing is look for less busy security areas. At the Seattle airport, everybody tends to go to the first security checkpoint they see, so it gets backed up. But there are two more security areas a little farther down the terminal that few people seem to know about, so I use them and get through security a lot faster. He also says the Trusted Traveler program is nice because you can go through the pre-TSA lines with fewer people and you don't have to take off your shoes. If one traveler is in the program, usually their travel partner will also get to use the pre-TSA lines. Yeah, Mark, I've thought about doing that, but I think you have to apply for it and you have to go through all these background checks and all this kind of stuff. I don't know, you know, with my web modeling experience, I don't know if they'd consider me a security risk, but anyway, so maybe I'll try that sometime. And his next point is, I don't understand people who sit at the gate for hours. I'm going to be sitting on the plane for at least a few hours, so I like to walk around and explore the terminal. It's good exercise and sort of interesting to poke around and people watch. So I agree, Mark, but the problem is, for me, when I'm traveling especially, I have this laptop bag and I will have a personal laptop and a work laptop and all these technology devices that I need, cameras, cords, all this stuff, and it becomes super heavy. And if I walk around a lot, my shoulder gets tired or sore because I'm carrying this laptop bag. And then usually if it's a longer trip, I have not only that, but I have a rolling bag that's also that I haven't checked, but I'm carrying on. And now with all these extra charges that you get for airlines, you don't want to check anything unless you absolutely have to, because you have to pay extra for it. So one time when I knew we were going to have a long layover, I rented one of those lockers and put my stuff in there. And that was pretty convenient. His next point, I've learned not to overpack. So that's what I shouldn't have done, is basically what you were telling me. Don't overpack, Adam, and then you won't have the problem that you were describing before. He says, you can usually fit everything you need into a backpack. Anywhere I'm going has stores in case I need to buy something, and I can usually do laundry mid-trip. So I should start doing that. And even at home, I'm starting to really donate clothing that I haven't worn in a year or more and trying to really pare down. I should do that when we're traveling. So his next point, now airlines are charging to use the overhead bins. That's ridiculous. I haven't run into that yet, but I do not doubt that I'm going to run into it soon. But he says, but there's no way for them to tell who has paid or not. And the airline attendants don't care. So don't pay those ridiculous fees. If your bag doesn't fit under the seat in front of you, just put it in a bin, but try not to use the bin space that someone actually paid for. I don't know. I think I would feel like I had a little lack of integrity there if I didn't pay for it. So I don't think I would ever use it unless I had actually paid for it. And then lastly, he says, if you have an undesirable seat, keep an eye on a few empty seats. Then when the plane door closes, make your move. As long as it's in your same class, nobody cares which seat you sit in. Most people are too timid to move, even if they are in a seat they hate. But why let a better seat go to waste? So what I want to say about that one is, American Airlines for sure charges now for good seats if you pre-choose your seats. So when you go in and you buy your ticket, if you go on through that process where it says, okay, choose your seats, most of those seats are going to cost. But a trick that my boyfriend and I found is that if you don't really care where you sit, then you just don't select a seat. So when you go through that process, do not select a seat. And what will happen is they have to give you a seat because you bought a ticket, but they don't charge you for it. So on the day of the flight, when you check in, then the computer will automatically assign you to a seat. And what we found is if there are two together, usually the computer system will assign seats together if they're available. Now, I mean, it is a risk. It's a crapshoot because you're actually assuming, you know, that you're going to be sat together. And if you're not, you just have to live with it. But really, I mean, it's only, what, your flight, maybe a few hours. It's not like, I'm not talking about these 24-hour flights to Australia from the U.S. or the Philippines or something like that. Maybe there are times when you really care where you're going to sit because it's going to be a long flight. But on those 2, 3, 4, 5-hour flights, it doesn't make sense to pay an extra $15, $20, $30, $40, $50 per leg. And I don't even mean per leg. If you have two flights and a leg, each one of those seats could cost money. So you're looking at paying maybe up to a couple of $100 more for a seat that you want. And if you really just kind of relax and go with the flow and just take whatever seat you get, you're saving a whole lot of money. So we never select a seat unless by some miracle they happen to have a couple of seats available that are free that we're okay with, then we'll go ahead and select those. But if they don't, we skip that step and do not select a seat, and then it gets automatically assigned whenever we get to the airport or when we check in. So anyway, thank you for the email, Mark. I'm glad you found the show again, because I did stop doing it for a while, a couple of years, as you know. And I really appreciate. And this travel topic, like I said before, is really pertinent right now for me, because I'm going to Florida April 14th. I'm flying, and I took the cheapest airline. This airline, you practically do have to pay if you want to sit down, but you have to pay for a carry-on. You have to pay for checked bags. They ask for payment if you want priority seating. There's all kinds of things. You don't get a drink. I think you can get a drink if you pay for the drink, but you don't get a free drink. So it is the cheapest. But I just, I'm going to Orlando. It's like a 2-hour flight. And I don't really see a need of paying. The ticket that I got is probably half the price of a normal ticket to go to Orlando from here. So I thought it was completely worth it to only be on the plane for a couple of hours. I'm going by myself, so it doesn't really matter where I sit. And then we're going to Hawaii, hopefully, in July for our anniversary. And we're looking for flights. That is going to be an expensive trip. Just the flight alone right now, the tickets are over $1,100 per person. And we don't know whether we should buy it now, because Kayak is saying buy now. But we really feel like if we wait until 60 days before, that the prices might go down. So I'm not sure. Not sure what to do. Anyway, really excited about my travels and my videos that I'm going to be making. Hopefully, I'm going to get a beauty light so I'm more beautiful. So hopefully you guys, if you're interested in watching some videos, you guys can tune in. So if you want to contact me, like Mark did, you can email me adamburns.uk@gmail.com. You can hear my other show over at dubiousintent.com. I did the Pride 48 clip show this month, and you can get that over at pride48.com. And I think those are the ways that you can get a hold of me. So until next time, I will see you guys later. Bye, everyone.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.